This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One of the big questions is,
what is money?
For practical purposes, it exists in a series of heterogeneous databases, very different databases.
Do you believe in crypto?
Digital currency may be an answer.
But it is the highly speculative asset.
I do own Bitcoin.
There is no second best.
Welcome to the Crypto Curious podcast, proudly brought to you by the Bamboo app. Crypto Curious is your go-to source for all things cryptocurrency. Whether you're a seasoned pro or new to the world of crypto, we've got you covered. Each week, we'll break down the top news stories of the past 7 days, giving you the information you need to stay on top of the latest trends and developments. Plus, we'll share quick bites of news and insights that you won't want to miss. If you're new to crypto, we recommend starting with our early episodes where we break down the basics and give you a solid foundation to understand the crypto world. Join us as we explore the ever-evolving world of cryptocurrency and educate ourselves along the way. In this week's episode, we'll talk about the breaking news around Binance as things go from bad to worse with the global exchange as they battle the SEC. We'll look at the huge Ethereum staking gains in May, and we'll discuss the token XRP or Ripple, who've also been embroiled with the SEC of their own battle for the last few years as that comes to an end. My name's Tracy, and this week the gang is back together all over different parts of the world. That's Blake and Craig. So welcome to the podcast, guys. Good to be back together.
Hey, Trace, the A-team is back.
The A-team's back. Hey, Craig.
G'day, another quiet week in crypto land.
Nothing ever happens.
I know. It's like we have nothing to talk about every week.
Oh, but look, yeah, breaking news in the last kind of 24, 12 hours, but set the scene a little bit on this one. We spoke about this a little bit last week. There was an initial rally after the debt ceiling kind of came about last week. Plus, apparently a little bit playing into that was the Turkey elections, which
really
always sets us. Yeah, apparently kind of stumbled across this story a couple of times when doing research over this week, and the Turkish love their crypto, and it happened last time the elections took place.
Or maybe because their dollar's really inflated.
Yeah, and if the right people get into power, things always have a pump. So that kind of coincided with the debt ceiling last week, and prices had a bit of a pump, but then they fell pretty sharply at the same time. And there was also a little bit of hawkish sentiment that came out from the Fed. But most traders were actually looking at a bit of a downward trend for this week anyway. But I don't think they were anticipating the Binance news that we've had in the last 12 hours.
Yeah, but just before we move on to that, Trace, it might be just worth highlighting the debt ceiling is the gross debt of the US government, and they had reached their debt ceiling. They have now deferred the decision to increase the debt ceiling out, what was it, 12 months? Or
until January 2025.
And as a result of that, it means that, you know, potentially there could be more government spending, there could be more stimulus, and as a result, assets could increase.
So again, there, like I said, that we were looking at probably a kind of slow or downturn week as it was, but then this Binance news hit, Craig.
Yeah, this is insane. So the SEC is the Securities Commission in the US. As we know, they've been in the news so much this year with Coinbase, with Tron, with seems countless.
Kraken,
FTX, seems a never-ending cycle of SEC suing people, but now they're suing CZ and Binance. So they've alleged that CZ and Binance have enriched themselves by billions of US dollars while placing investors' assets at significant risk. They're saying that Binance has mishandled billions of dollars in funds, and there is
commingled users' funds, yeah,
which is FTX vibes. Altogether, there's 13 different charges. So this is causing a huge stir in the markets. Crypto Twitter's going off. Blake, give us your thoughts, please.
You know, the SEC is certainly on a war path, particularly with an exchange like Binance that's a global platform. as I understand, they don't provide sophisticated products to US market, but US investors have been getting their way around those blocks so that they can use things like futures and leverage. And I think that's what the SEC is getting at. But also they have said that there are unregistered securities on the platform. Trace, do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. So they're talking about these other ones that they are now going after, and we'll list those. We've got Cardano, Solana, Polygon, Cosmos, Filecoin, Axie Infinity, Coti, Sandbox, and Decentraland. So on this news last night, many of those did take a big tumble. I think on average, you're looking at 7 or 8% was lost on those. Bitcoin, Ethereum themselves lost 4 or 5%. But we were just talking off air, Blake. How do they actually name these? You know, why do they choose these in particular?
That's a good question. So one of the key methodologies that they use is the Howey test. However, you know, it's really interesting to see that, you know, there could have been, you know, 50 other coins bundled in with these 12. And it's interesting that they didn't include, things like Tether or even Ethereum in here. And it's also interesting that they are not going after these projects directly, or I haven't heard about them going after these projects directly for raising or selling unregistered securities for raising capital for their projects. So who knows what's happening here, what the motivation is, what the methodology is, but it seems like a bit of chaos to me.
And I think we covered off in March that Binance was being investigated by the SEC since 2020, and they had text messages. You guys remember these text messages that got leaked, which sort of showed that Binance were trying to hide from US scrutiny. So all this is now coming to the forefront with these allegations.
Yeah, I'm not sure where this will end. Maybe there's some kind of, you know, maximum fine. You know, maybe CZ will step down from being the global CEO on his own just to save face a little bit. But I think it, you know, it all depends on how this gets classified as well, I assume, Blake.
And of course, all the other US-based exchanges like Gemini, Kraken, and Coinbase and others have all, you know, most of these tokens listed on their platform. So you could assume that you're in the coming weeks or months that they're also going to be sued by the SEC for selling unregistered securities.
I think, to be honest, though, I mean, this is really big news, but all in all, the markets did kind of, you know, swallow this pretty lightly. It was a 5% dip, which, you know, in crypto space isn't huge. And potentially, it could just be a massive fine.
Well, it's a centralized player. And I think the issue, not the issue, but one of the caveats is that it's the Binance.us, which is under scrutiny for offering the securities, which is 5% of Binance's total volume. But I mean, if you're listening to this, just have a look at CZ Binance's Twitter. It's pretty bad optics. He's like putting up polls saying who protects you more, the SEC or Binance. He's retweeting anyone that's supporting him, and it's not a great look.
Well, you know what? You talk about not a great look. Blake and I were having a laugh, and we were actually quite gobsmacked at how the SEC put this out in the press release this morning.
So that if you go on the legit SEC Twitter page, even has the government tick, they shared the news that they've charged Binance Holdings with all these violations. And in the quote, they're quoting the Binance chief compliance officer in 2018. And this is the quote: "We are operating as a fucking unlicensed securities exchange in the USA, bro." That's what they actually posted on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, that is insanity.
It is really.
But the whole post seems emotionally driven. It seems
correct.
Very unprofessional. It's really not up to them to decide whether or not their security is exchanged, but rather the court system. So they're publicizing evidence and, you know, potentially wavering public opinion about, you know, the legal standing of these assets. So yeah, it seems ridiculously unprofessional. It just seems 100%. Very peculiar.
You've hit the nail on the head there when you've said that it's emotional. This is a government body. Can you imagine if here in Australia a government body put that out? I literally said to Blake, I had to go and check it twice.
I thought it was satire.
So did I. I had to go check that it was legitimate.
It might be worth also pointing out that these projects, they're all $1 billion projects, Cardano, Solana, Polygon, Cosmos. so on and so forth. They're not going to be happy about this. They're going to want to take this to court as well, because they don't want to be classified as a security, because it would have all sorts of ramifications for their organization. So I don't know what the pathway is for them now that this has come out in the last, 24 hours, but they're certainly going to want to fight it.
And really interesting that, like you said, we hadn't seen Ethereum there. Again, we will use that as a segue into Ethereum, but we'll hear loads more about this story, I'm sure, so we'll keep you up to date with it. Moving on, and Ethereum, like I just mentioned, Ethereum's having a bumper month when it comes to staking, and I wanted to chat with you guys around this here because we all love our Ethereum. But why wouldn't people flock to it with its 8% staking rewards on offer? And at the time of recording, the approximate supply staked is 16%. So this is phenomenal for me. And, we're still, the market's kind of still in a downturn, and Ethereum's just pumping along, guys.
Yeah, so most people, the whole staked ETH narrative has really taken off. And the winner, I think, is Lido, which is the Lido staked ETH, where you don't need the 32 minimum to stake ETH. And they're actually gone up to number 7 on the CoinGecko charts. Yeah, they've done massively. So the Lido has increased a further 12% over the last month alone, which is a little bit of a concern with the Ethereum faithful in regards to centralization. What's your take on this, Blake? Because on one hand, you don't need to do the minimums, which is why these centralized players and players like Lido have taken the lead.
Yeah, so there is some, centralization there, because so many people are using the Lido service in order to get staking rewards. But it is good for the network, because the more validators there are, the more secure the network is. The risk is obviously counterparty risk with the smart contracts on Lido, that everyone's open to, but the bounty's worth billions of dollars if it was going to be hacked. You can assume it probably would have been hacked by now, touch wood.
don't even.
Yeah, well, that isn't the only one that you can do that sort of staking. Rocket Pool is there. Yeah. That's been growing a lot. So, I think when you want to stake your ETH, I think it's being very careful about potentially not staking your whole stack into one of these platforms, because as we know, if one goes down, then it's all gone. So I think a bit of risk diversification if you want to partake in staking. But yeah, as you said, Trace, I think now 16% of the whole supply of ETH is now staked, which is huge. And that's constantly going up.
That is huge. But, I see a world where, 30-50% of Ethereum is staked at some point in time. I don't see why not it becomes a standard process. If you deposit your coins onto a crypto exchange, it's automatically staked unless you opt out. I just think that all the largest wallet holders will move across to staking their Ethereum in time as they feel more comfortable with the robustness of moving their coins and actually doing it. So yeah, and this is really going to contribute in the next cycle to the reduction in circulating supply of Ethereum, as well as the burning of Ethereum from every transaction. A little bit of Ethereum is permanently burnt. So when you have these supply dynamics overall reducing the circulating supply of Ethereum at the same time as adoption increasing at a rapid rate, you hopefully see substantial price appreciation.
And as we round out this story, I'm going to talk really quickly to ask you guys if you've heard of restaking yet. Have you guys heard of this?
Tell us, Trace.
No, what is it?
No, I mean, well, look, it's groundbreaking. This is like, this is right on the edge here, guys, right on the edge. No, I kind of heard of it on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and then the guys from Bankless put something out. I haven't listened to the whole lot because those guys can rabbit on a bit, but it's basically restaking your stake on another network. There's obviously risks that come with it, but they seem super hyped up about it and said like it's groundbreaking, it's the new thing. So I just wanted to mention it because I do want to do a bit more of a deep dive in there. And I think but again it's restaking your stake, which obviously comes with
leverage. It's a new form of leverage. Yeah, obviously in that circumstance you'll be getting more rewards. But it does,
there's higher risks, obviously. Yeah.
I think the way that it's being described is like if you're staking your Ethereum for rewards on these platforms, you can restake the rewards that you get to help validate other side chains. So like,
yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yes, you could help validate Arbitrum. You could help validate Optimism or like some of these other, you know, side chains and stuff.
And it's done through, but it's done through another network.
I mean, it's let's not forget, like, the Ethereum only, like, quote unquote, rebranded later last year. So this is all really new stuff that we're playing around with right now. So this could be a whole new industry in the next year or so.
Mm. Yeah, which is why I love it. So you heard it here first. We've talked a lot about the SEC going after Binance and everyone else under the crypto sun, but there's a long-standing battle going on with another token called XRP or Ripple. Some of you might know about this one, but we've not really reported on this so far on the podcast, but it's getting a bit of airtime at the moment, so we figured we'd better chat about it a little bit further. Blake, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about who XRP are before we go into the details?
Yeah, XRP is the native token for the Ripple network, and Ripple was a very early founded project by, was it Jeb who was one of the, it was Jeb who was one of the founders of Mt. Gox. And yeah, these guys obviously hit it early, but they've had a lot of problems because compared to Bitcoin and Ethereum, Ripple has a CEO, whereas Bitcoin and Ethereum are generally decentralized. And they held a very high market cap for a long time. They were the third most valuable crypto coin for a long time. As a result of that, they've been a target for the SEC for the sale of unregistered securities. Ripple has generally been known for cross-border payments. Banks like Bank of America have used RippleNet, but it's really not clear about, you know, how much value they've created here, and how that flows back into the XRP token. And, you know, they've been painting this narrative of, you know, building the infrastructure for banks to settle between one another. But, you know, there's been some adoption in Japan, but, really, I don't think they've achieved their vision. However, you know, that doesn't mean that they won't.
Mm, okay, so you've just touched on a few points there, and I was going to throw to Craig to give us an understanding of why XRP really does divide folk in the crypto community. You just touched on the fact there that they do work really closely with banks. And I think, you know, that is a number one reason that they do divide the crypto community. Craig, you agree?
Yeah, there's so many reasons why it divides folk. But let's start with the first one that you just mentioned. So XRP is essentially trying to compete with SWIFT, which is the banking settlement provider between banks. And Ripple has been around for so long. It's still number six on the crypto charts, which is, I can't believe it's still number six. Insane.
10 years now. Ten years.
It's honestly been around for so long. And I remember when 2017 was around, this was one of the first coins that was pumped to retail users with celebrities. I remember Ashton Kutcher was on Ellen and gave away $4 million in Ripple. Katy Perry, like, painted her nails with the Ripple logo. Like, this was one of the ones that burnt a lot of retail investors back then. But critics have now called the XRP network not centralized because only 1,500 people can validate transactions. As you know, anyone can validate on Bitcoin, anyone can validate on Ethereum. And XRP tokens haven't been created since 2012. So the Ripple founders hold an enormous amount of power to release the coin into circulation every month to keep the supply stable. And it's now trading at around 50 cents, but at the peak bull run of 2017, it got to $3.84. And I remember when it was like one fraction of a cent. So it was pretty crazy returns back then. But then the 2018 market sort of dragged it back down. The SEC declared that they were suing Ripple in 2020, and it said that the founders were illegally offering XRP as an unregistered security, which led to a bunch of exchanges like Coinbase delisting the coin. But what's interesting enough is that XRP wasn't mentioned in this Binance release.
That's very interesting.
It's going to be really interesting to see where it ends up. And I think Ripple was created out of the US, so I wonder if that will impact the decision.
And it's also alleged that the founders, or I can't remember if it was the founders or the company itself, 1 year sold $650 million worth of Ripple into the market to release their own position, which, you know, obviously, yeah, is not a great scenario.
And just like what Blake means by owners selling the token, so there's around 50 billion tokens in circulation, and there's a max supply of 100 billion. So when Blake says that they're slowly releasing tokens from the tokens that aren't circulating, so it's obviously being staked or it's in wallets or whatever, but it's not in the market. So they will slowly release new tokens, which gets bought up by retail.
Yeah, but you've just got so many
XRP loyal followers,
devote fans out there. But
they have a very strong narrative. And if I had a dollar for every time somebody came to me and said, you know, I'm considering investing into crypto, I think Ripple's going to be the next big thing. It's because it displays some certain optics. First of all, its price is very low per coin, even though there's billions of coins. And the narrative is quite strong that it's, you know, going to be used to disrupt, you know, the current banking system. But really, you know, they need to align with the current banking system.
Exactly.
As their client base, in order for their platform to be successful. So, yeah, there's really a lot going on here. And, you know, we can't completely riff on them. They have had some success with some banks in some regions, and that could be scaled out. But what are we now, 11, 12 years into the project being live? And it'd be really interesting to see the percentage of network share they've been able to take from the SWIFT network. And I suggest that it'd be very low.
And I used to bag them out so much, but now in 2023, still in the top 10, still obviously doing things, and you just sort of like, okay, I'm going to eat my words a little bit, maybe.
I just stay out of those conversations, to be honest, when it comes to XRP. But look, as we mentioned, the lawsuit, which has been ongoing now for, you know, almost 3 years, will wrap up this month, reportedly, and XRP is expected to win. And that has been driving the price in the market. If you have a look, it's had 34% up in the last 3 months, another 10% up this month. And it's even fared well in the dip this week. So we will see how it goes, boys.
Yeah, and I might just like to add here that, you know, it really comes down to the amount of resources these organizations and companies have to fight the SEC. You know, if there's a project that can throw, you know, 100 mil, 200 mil, maybe more of legals at the SEC to fight this, then the odds certainly stack in their favor. And these guys have the capital in order to win these cases. So, yeah, just something to note, I think.
And with that, we'll head off for a break. And when we come back, our short, sharp news bites.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Crypto Curious podcast. Anyone out there who's thinking of downloading the Bamboo app, then remember, if you use the code CURIOUS, you'll get $10 of free Bitcoin. So go for it, folks. Blake, you've been off for 2 weeks, so you get the honours of giving us our short, sharp news bite number one for today.
Perfect. Thank you. So Google searches for crypto fall to 2020 levels as BTC sentiment becomes neutral, with a score of 17 out of 100.
It's low.
Yeah, it's very low. Online interest in crypto has taken a big hit from the higher levels, and I'm sure your narratives and in industries like AI are picking up all that interest.
Absolutely. But we like that because that just means that, you know, things are bubbling away and interest is going to come flying back when it's ready. Craig, what's up next?
I got one for you, Trey. So Nansen, one of my favorite blockchain companies, has laid off 30% of their staff. So the layoffs have hurt Nansen. They've also hurt Binance as well. They announced they're cutting 20% of their staff in June. And Gemini have also said they're letting go of a bunch of staff. So the layoff season continues, Tracy.
Next up, Uniswap, which is a decentralized exchange protocol, was targeted by an elaborate impersonation scam in China. Read about this one and heard a bit. So apparently this was like involved like deep faking, and they staged an entire video featuring individuals posing as high ranking Uniswap executives. Yeah, this one wasn't great. I think they were considering putting Uniswap as one of the possibilities on the Hong Kong list to be traded as of the 1st of June. It's not on there, but it's being talked about. So, yeah, that's unfortunate for Uniswap. But see, it's just getting, you know, more elaborate with these fakes. So be safe. What's up next, Blake?
Cool. So I don't know why you give me these NFT and metaverse stories, but Japan's All Nippon Airways, ANA, develops an NFT platform called ANA Grand Whale NFT Marketplace. So exciting stuff coming out of Japan.
Atomic Wallet, which is a decentralized non-custodial crypto wallet, suffered an attack that resulted in around $14 million of user funds being lost, and one person actually lost $2 million. So guys, be safe with your non-custodial wallets.
Okay, this one is Paulie0x. He is a crypto Twitter influencer that I actually follow him. I didn't even know I was following, but this is what he's done. He's said on his Twitter that he was going to do absolutely nothing if people sent him cash, and he just thought he'd do it as a trial, see if they did it. And it was a bit of a joke, but they did. As a result, $1.1 million worth of money sent to his digital wallet in less than 24 hours. And it's just a testament of how unpredictable and how stupid people are in this community. Everyone's saying, oh, it's really funny. So he promised nothing. He's put a tweet out there saying, you know, I promise nothing in return if you send me money to this address. Looking a bit further into it, that address with that money, he went and bought an address that said ipromisenothing.eth. So there you go.
Wow.
All right, another story here from Nike and EA Sports. They're teaming up to integrate for digital collectibles.
Ooh.
Nike's Web3 platform. Yeah, and membership cards. This is quite cool.
I got one for you guys. So we covered off Sotheby auctioning 3 Arrow Capital's NFTs. Turns out they've sold a bunch and they brought in $2.5 million in NFT sales. So they're not dead yet, guys. And they're actually going to continue this because it's worked so well. So 3 Arrow Capital's liquidator published a note outlining its intent to sell all of its list of NFTs. So watch this space. There's a CryptoPunk, there's a Fidenza, there's an Autoglyph, which is like a generative art. So interesting.
Tron's network founder Justin Sun confirmed on Twitter that Tron's TRX has now expanded its reach by going live on the Ethereum blockchain by leveraging the BitTorrent bridge. That's actually quite a feat for Sun and Tron. Still wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot barge pole, but well done. There you go. What's next?
All right, social platform Reddit that we all love to use is close to reaching 10 million holders of its collectible avatars. Now, this is a pretty massive achievement. I've been collecting some of these as well. I've gone back on to have a look.
What?
Yeah.
So you only collect them because they're not called NFTs, because they're called collectible avatars.
Exactly right. But in 11 months, they've achieved, you know, such widespread adoption of NFTs and this technology, and people on the platform love it. You know, it gives people a personality on the platform compared to what it was beforehand. So yeah, no, amazing job from the Reddit team.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. All right. I think that's it for all of our short, sharp news bites and the news in crypto land for this week. So we'll be back with you next week. Hope you can join us. If you'd like to get in contact, podcast@getbamboo.io, or you can join us in the Facebook Crypto Curious group. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Crypto Curious is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. Equity Mates gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by a range of financial service professionals. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Crypto Curious are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Equity Mates Media does not operate under an Australian financial services license and relies on the exemption available under the Corporations Act of 2001 in respect of any information or advice given. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find the ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Crypto Curious acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to the elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.